This is a podcast from LBC. Britain decides. Follow the general election from every angle on LBC.
So as the battle for number 10 heats up, we're counting down to the general election. From LBC, I'm Ian Day.
And I'm Sheila Fogarty. This is Britain Decides, LBC's election podcast. We'll be delving into all the big election issues of the day. Let's start with polls today, Ian, and predictions, because one is good from Comrades, saying Theresa May is indeed going to storm to that much talked about majority, but another, less positive, from YouGov, says she will lose more than 20 seats, Labour will gain 30, and we'll have a hung parliament.
Yeah, in Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, okay.
Well, there's also a secret plan being hatched by Labour to open Britain's doors wider. It's not secret at all. We've actually known about it for months.
And it isn't necessarily the plan, says Jeremy Corbyn. The plan is in the manifesto, but we'll talk more about that in a moment. And Nick Clegg, yes, Nick Clegg, former leader of the Liberal Democrats, he unveils their election poster today, attacking Theresa May's plans to take away free school meals. But he isn't the leader, as I said. So where, I suppose the big question is, where is Tim Farron?
Where is he indeed? That's the question that is on all of our lips. And just in case Theresa May doesn't really think Brexit means Brexit, Paul Nuttall is ready to be let off the leash as the guard dog of any deal. So much symbolism there, I think.
Yes. YouGov are saying, Ian, that the Tories are on course to lose 20 seats, Labour will win 30, and we'll have a hung parliament. And we should be clear that one is a poll, one is just a set of data being used as a kind of prediction, seat-by-seat prediction, when it comes to YouGov. You're dismissing this out of hand. Tell me why.
Well, I can't believe that the Times, the newspaper of record, has even carried this morning. I think they stand to make great fools of themselves. Or if they don't, I just have myself. Because I cannot see in any plausible situation that we're going to end up with the Tories losing seats. And that's not me looking at it through blue-tinted spectacles. You look at the methodology that they've used to conduct this, and they say, oh, well, we trialled this in the EU referendum, and we were saying that the Leave vote was going to win sort of almost from the start. Funny how 2 days before the EU referendum, headline poll from YouGov, Remain are going to win by 2 points. I mean, they just out and out lie.
But is it time to start ignoring the polls? Plenty of people already do, the polls or data, because isn't the fact, particularly with general elections, that history tells us more than any poll?
History does tell us more than any poll. And of course, we can go back to 1970, when everyone thought Labour were going to win, Harold Wilson was going to romp home to victory, and of course Ted Heath won with a majority of, I think, 30. There are all sorts of elections where it's gone. 1992, when everyone thought Neil Kinnock was going to win. The BBC exit poll got that absolutely catastrophically wrong. So yes, you can't judge it entirely by polls. They got it wrong last time, apart from the exit poll. And you can't have a poll that says there's going to be a hung parliament, which also, in the small print, says actually the Tories could get as few as 280 seats or as many as 347.
That's quite a difference.
Why didn't they just go the whole hog and say our prediction is that Conservatives could get between naught and 650?
Because this poll is useless. Do you know why they didn't do that? That would just be silly.
I know.
It would just be silly. What about Labour's supposed secret immigration plan on the front of, I think, the Telegraph and the Mail today? Isn't it true that in Conservative tactic territory, if in doubt, frighten people about immigrants? That seems to be happening on the front of a couple of papers today.
You could put it that way if you wanted to.
I just have.
You could also say that look at Labour's track record, where Peter Mandelson was saying that they were going around Eastern Europe looking for people to come here. So I don't know how much store you put by this, but Labour haven't put any figures on the amount of immigration that they want to see. They criticised the Tories for having a figure-free manifesto, quite right too in many ways. But how can you trust what they say on immigration when they really don't say anything?
Well, it isn't true that they don't say anything, not least because I have a quote in front of me here from Jeremy Corbyn this morning when he was asked about this supposed secret immigration plan. He says, what you've been reading is a document that was being discussed between researchers in our teams, happens every day of the week in every party all around Parliament. Our policy is in our manifesto. That is the policy that we'll be carrying out. A reminder of what that policy is on immigration.
In the future, there has to be managed migration and it has to be based on the needs of this country and our economy and of the rights of family reunion. I'm not going to stand here and put a figure. Our Prime Minister has done that now in the third election running and has got nowhere near meeting that figure. I would say we have to have manage migration. We have to have protection of EU nationals living here, just as much as there should be protection of British nationals, of which there are very many living in other parts of Europe.
Freedom of movement ends with Brexit, he says, and we will have a fair immigration policy.
Depend- what does that mean?
Well, he says, it's not my what words, these are his words, dependent on the economic need.
The Tories aren't saying that. We all know that the Tories want to see lower immigration. We don't know whether... come what may.
What if we need higher immigration?
I'm just telling you what the Tories think, not what I think.
No, I know, but what if we do? That's the question for all parties. What if we do?
Absolutely, I agree with you. But that the Tory position is they want lower immigration. We all know that. We don't know whether Labour want lower immigration or higher immigration.
But we do know it's not a secret plan.
Well, who knows?
We do.
Well, he says these conversations go on between researchers. Well, that often indicates the mindset of their political leaders, having been one of those researchers in the past.
OK. Let's not fight anymore over this...
Let's have a tetchy issue of immigration.
Still to come, Ian, we're going to have to start a Find Farren campaign. Where exactly is the Lib Dem leader? And he's promising to be the guard dog of Brexit, but what does that really mean for Paul Nuttall and UKIP? All that next.
This is Ian Dale and Sheila Fogarty with Britain Decides, LBC's podcast, as the countdown to the general election reaches its final push. Sheila, I have a very, very important question for you.
Go on.
They seek him here.
They seek him here. They seek him there.
That's not a question.
No.
His clothes are loud, but never
they seek
where.
Him every bloody where. Who am I talking about?
Tim Farren, I think, at this stage.
Tim who?
I have in my hand a piece of paper. I have in front of me
white as well.
The poster, the Lib Dem poster that's being launched today by their former leader, Nick Clegg. And it's a picture of a beautiful little boy aged about 6 with his empty dish up to his face, Oliver Twist style. And the plaintive question, please, Theresa, may I have some more?
What?
Please, sir. I want some more.
What a pathetic poster. Well, if you actually look at the policy, which of course this doesn't, the policy is to stop free school lunches.
And make sure everybody has breakfast.
Everybody's breakfast. Now,
All the way through primary school.
When I was young, I was told that breakfast was the most important meal of the day. And I still think that's probably the case. I very rarely eat it, which I should, but anyway.
The subject in hand is Tim Farren. I have a soft spot for Tim Farren because I think he's a very sincere man. I think he's a very articulate man. I think he was not treated unfairly as the wrong thing, because I think politicians take what they take when they go on the campaign trail. But all of that questioning over his religious beliefs just felt a bit off to me. However, I think one of his shortcomings as a political leader is that he just seems so boyish. And you need to, I think a political leader who wants to be a prime minister can't really have that air about them. They have to seem incredibly strong as individuals. And it's unfair, because I think he is strong. I think he's a very resilient man, a very resilient MP, and a very good MP by all accounts as well. I just think I wonder whether the fact they're getting Nick Clegg to do this poster launch tells us that they feel they need to put something else out there as part of the campaign.
You picked up on a lot of things there. I think he does lack physical presence. He's a bit of a short ass. Very rarely do short politicians gain political office. It has happened, but it's unusual for
French.
It to happen unless they're French. And very good looking. Yeah. You say you admire him. I think you rather like the cut of his religious jib, don't you?
No, it's not. Genuinely nothing to do with his religious jib at all. I like the way he communicates. He is...
But isn't it sort of very much of this, you can trust me because I got a northern accent type sort of thing?
That may be your snobby reaction to a northern accent coming out there rather than
I think he exaggerates his accent, because I think there is a bit that he's... Well, I'm a blunt-talking northerner, so I can say anything, you can trust me. And there is a bit of that, which you don't get with the southern accent, let's face it.
Well, because you can't trust southerners.
We're all a bit dodgy.
but I didn't say that.
But I think you've hit on something there. But the reason, I know the reason why we haven't seen him over the past few days, is because he's fighting for his life to keep his seat. And you're right, he is a good MP. He won that seat from, do you remember Tim Collins, a Conservative education spokesman, in 2005, was it, I think? And that was a real shock. No one thought that would happen. And he's built up a huge majority since then in that seat. I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's a sort of five-figure majority. But there is the Tories have targeted him in this election, and they think they might have got him. So I suspect he's having to spend a long time in his seat, which is very remote in the northwest. Is it Westmoreland?
Westmoreland. Yeah.
So I think that's where. Beautiful service station, I have to say. Is there really?
Very nice. I do a lot of driving.
That's the only thing you can think of to say about
it.
Have we done Tim Farron to death?
I think we've done poor Tim Farron to death.
Well, before we leave Tim Farron, though. Yeah. Everyone thought the Lib Dems would have a big revival in this election. I must admit, I did. I thought they would at least double their seats, if not more.
Because of the Brexit commitments.
Yeah. But we never realised that he's actually only got 22% to get rather than 48%.
And you also think, just before we leave the Lib Dems for now, you also think that my home constituency of Richmond, you think it's going to revert to the Tories, don't
you?
I do,
yeah.
We shall see.
Or do you think you live there?
Well, I have to say, I mean, this isn't, you know, it's not scientific, but I see way more Liberal Democrat
always
posters.
Always a case.
Because
means
of their ground
means nothing.
War. Means nothing. I did see, actually...
Ooh. That's my alarm, which has just told me I have to take my medication.
Oh, my God. Get me out of this room immediately. What the hell's going on? Dear, it's like working with Tiger Woods. What I wanted to say about that, just a little image from that constituency, from Richmond. At the bottom of the road I live on, there is a huge poster of Zach Goldsmith, the Conservative candidate. And I know a little bit the elderly couple who live in the house where they've got the poster. They've allowed the poster to be put on their wall. And hanging over the poster is a rather beautiful rose bush, resplendent with red roses.
I've never quite understood this, but women seem to fall at Zach Goldsmith's feet. They seem to find him incredibly attractive.
Too feminine for me.
But, you know, when I was a candidate in North Norfolk in 2005, I remember knocking on this woman's door and she said to me, I went through the spiel and she said, yeah, I'm going to vote for you. So I think, oh, excellent. She said, yeah, because you're better looking than Norman Lamb. which is a fact.
Oh, it's...
And still is a fact, I think.
Ian, we're friends, but you're just not.
No.
He's got... better hair. Oh, he's got hair.
Well, he's got... Oh, so you judge someone. How shallow is that?
Anyway, I think we should leave the Lib Dems now because we've entered
lunacy. Let's talk on to that. Let's move on to that real hunk of a man, Paul Nuttall.
Bastion of male good looks.
Now, he wants to be a guard dog.
The question, and it's my question as well, what's the point of UKIP now? And it seemed to boil down to, for him, he said we're going to be the guard dogs of Brexit. And they to survive, they need to be more than that, do they not?
Well, I've always thought of UKIP as a pressure group rather than a political party because they exist to make sure we come out of the EU. And in a sense, you could say, well, they've done their job now. But they tried to, under Nigel Farage, morph into a more mainstream political party with policies on virtually everything. If you look at their 2015 manifesto, which Suzanne Evans, I mean, literally, there is a policy on every single thing. And they've gone down that road this time, mistakenly, I think. That they see themselves as the guard dogs of Brexit, but it's a bit difficult when they're not going to have any MPs to be guard dogs. I mean, what do you do? I don't know how you even can even bark.
Because the real influence will be in Parliament when it comes to that.
It will be in Parliament. In a sense, it'll be Conservative backbenchers who will be the guard dogs of Brexit. And
that lot again.
And that's why it is quite important what size of majority there is for Theresa May.
Well, that's it for Britain Decides, LBC's election podcast for today. Follow the general election from every angle on LBC, on FM, DAB and online at lbc.co.uk.
And before we go, should we just let the cat out of the bag? Because our boss, he's been going to send out a press release for weeks, but he hasn't got around to it. So should we do it now?
It's a secret plan.
Should we tell people what's going to happen?
Do it, yeah.
We are, for the second time, it seems like it's about the fourth time, isn't it, when we've covered...
One was referendum, one was local elections, one general election.
Exactly. Well, we are going to be co-presenting LBC's general election night coverage. And we have a bit of fun, don't we?
We have a lot
of fun. We have a bit of banter. Yeah. We have some quite good... shall we reveal any of the people that we're going to have in the studio at the beginning? Michael Gove's going to be joining us.
Is he joining us again?
He's joining us.
Very good on local election night.
He is. We're going to be having Emily Thornberry in the studio.
Ditto.
Who else are we going to have? Nigel Farage, I think, is joining us. Alex Salmond will be sort of on ISDN from somewhere very remote in Scotland, no doubt.
Yeah, and it's a long night, but that's why, you know, obviously it's a long night and it's a serious night in terms of the results that are coming in. But I think you're absolutely right. We do manage to have a bit of fun. It always feels to me like just being in a room with your friends talking about the election, and that's what we hope it is for you as well.
And we get a lot of gossip from around the country, from all the different counts, from our various contacts. And we make Nick Ferrari come in early, because he takes over at 5, goes through till 10 o'clock, so he has quite a shift too.
And then we go to bed
separately. LBC, Britain Decides. Oh. I think we went too far.
No, we didn't. I obviously fancy Norman Lamb.